Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kellett, your host, and it's such a great time of decision. We're involved here in the U.S. in a great moment of decision, but the whole world is just seems like we're being offered different paths and we have to choose. And I think that the way it's supposed to work is you're supposed to come to some understanding about things before you make decisions about things, and understanding is woefully lacking. As a matter of fact, it almost seems at times that there's a lack of connection to reality, even one might say a little bit of a war against reality going on. So how do we get ourselves in touch with reality? Well, that's what philosophy's for, and there's a great new book from Ignatius Press out called Real Philosophy for Real People, Tools for Truthful Living, from the man who is our guest today, Jesuit priest Father Robert McTeague. I'll tell you a little bit about him. He's a member of the Maryland province of the Society of Jesus. He's lectured worldwide on philosophy and theology. He's a member of the National Ethics Committee of the Catholic Medical Association. He's the host and producer of the radio show The Catholic Current on the Station of the Cross. And there's more to find out about him. He's also a columnist over at Aletheia. You probably know that website. Father Robert McTeague, thanks for being with us.
Hey, glad to be with you guys. I look forward to helping you do your good work today.
Okay, so philosophy books, they're snoozers. They're long. They use a lot of big fancy words. They put me to sleep. I can't get to the end of them. Is something wrong with me? Is something wrong with philosophy books? And is this one going to solve those problems?
Well, yes to all of the above. We'll give you the best.
Thank you, Father. Yes.
You've probably been habituated, like so many of us, to think in small sound bites, to participate in short attention span theater. I mean, one of the reasons why I knew I needed to get out of teaching was I got tired of interrupting my lecture with the observation, this is the part where you write down what I say, and people looking at me in either in bewilderment or indignation.
Yeah.
There's also something wrong with merely academic, mostly pedantic philosophy. My late great mentor in philosophy, Paul Weiss, said philosophers let theories get in the way of what they and everyone else know. So someone who's an absolute skeptic about all of reality knows who to call if his direct deposit doesn't arrive on time. And sadly, most teachers haven't read Aristotle's Rhetoric. Most teachers, even most professional speakers and writers, start with, what do I want to say? That, in fact, is the last question you ask. You start with, who is my audience? What can they hear? What can they understand? What can they remember? And if you're really good, you'll ask, what do they need? And then in that small space, that's what you put. So I knew that I needed to teach philosophy to mostly unwilling undergrads. It was a captive audience. I wanted them to be a benefited audience. So I say, look, people out there want to eat your soul and harm your loved ones. You can be prepared or be surprised. If you listen to me, I'll keep you from getting mugged. And that's what lined them up. And I would help them to become anti-relativist ninjas in a matter of weeks. So everything in that book is battle-tested for 20 years in the classroom. I know what works.
So it's fascinating to me that the appeal that they get is that there are people who are... and not all of these people are human that attack them and want to tear them away from what's good, what's right, what's good for them, of that. And the preparation, I suppose, and I get this from your book, Real Philosophy for Real People, Tools for Truthful Living, is it doesn't mean you have to master every lie. You have to have a basic mastery of the truth. And that will prepare you to face lies.
Right. The elevator pitch of the book is this. This is the book that in one volume can teach you to be a lie detector, a truth detector, a lie refuter, and a truth promoter. It gives you basic skills, and it gives you a set of tools. It gives you a map and a compass so you don't get lost, and that when someone presents something to you as this is true and good, or denounce that because it's evil and wicked, you immediately are able to evaluate it, see whether or not it's wrong, where it's wrong, why it's wrong, how to refute it, and what to offer as a replacement.
If you have questions for Father Robert McTeague about philosophy and about the role of philosophy in our life, you're welcome to call 888-318-7884. If there are particular philosophical questions, moral, ethical questions that you would like help with, 888-318-7884 is our number. 888-31-TRUTH. You have an incredible cast on the endorsing this book, people saying wonderful things about it, including most people know Dr. Peter Kraft or Father Robert Spitzer, very supportive of your work. And we talked about this idea of being able to recognize the truth. It seems to me that the discussion, the public discussion we often have is, who can I trust? You know, am I a CNN person, an MSNBC person, a Fox person? Mm-hmm. But not mm-hmm. enough discussion about, how do I become the kind of person who can recognize the truth?
Right. Right. Well, you know, I draw an inspiration from a book by Richard Marchinko, who founded the SEAL Team 6, you know, the very elite SEAL team that did a hostage rescue and so on. And he said, when you safely learn to shoot, you first learn not to shoot yourself in the foot, and then you find where the target is, and you aim safely at the target, and you find the target. He says, eventually, you got to get to the point where finding the target and nailing the target is one action. So how did I do that with the students? I would give them every day what I called it. It was an exercise called a daily depredation. And I would take a paragraph from the internet, an editorial, an essay, and so on. I said, take a couple minutes, read it, think about it, write a few lines, evaluate it in light of what we've been talking about in class. And we talk about, you know, what their evaluations are. And I said, now I'm going to go through it line by line, word by word, and show you what you missed. I'm going to train your the eye of your intellect to spot where the weaknesses are, where the sleight of hand is. Watch this hand. Well, this hand is grabbing your wallet.
Right.
And eventually, they can get to a pretty high degree of sophistication relatively quickly.
888-318-7884. Especially, I would think, if you're a parent or a teacher yourself, and you'd like to help to protect young minds from the really horrific deception that is all around us these days.
Right.
This is a book for you. Real Philosophy for Real People, Tools for Truthful Living, from Ignatius Press. And you can talk with its author, Father Robert McTeague, at 888-318-7884. Who would you like to, I'd like to put this book in their hands. Who would you like that to be?
Oh my good. Anyone who can read English. Honestly, it's a universal book because it touches upon universal truths. Look, if you're homeschooling, if you're not homeschooling, but you're a parent and you said, hey, you know, my kid's becoming a junior in high school, he's going off to college, he's going off to the workplace. I want to make sure that we've read this together, so he's not being out standing out naked like Saint Sebastian. You know, if you are teaching at a college seminary where guys have to be immersed in philosophy before getting theology, I would want that. Priests who run pre-theology programs for guys who come into priesthood as a second career never had a lot of philosophy. Also, I did my homework. I know what a university professor is looking for, so I made sure all of the necessary intellectual apparatus is there so a professional could look at this and say, this is sound. I can trust it in the classroom. And for people who are in a hurry, who know that something's wrong, who are in the faith, who want to know the truth, and don't have the opportunity to read philosophy for 40 years as I have, I've done a lot of the homework for you. I don't say, you know, use the book as the measure. If it disagrees with Father McTeague, don't listen to it. No, here is the tools. Do it on your own. This is the philosophical version of teaching you how to fish rather than giving you a fish.
And if you'd like some help learning how to fish, or maybe someone in your life that you would like some help answering basic questions about what it is to be a human being, what it is to know the truth and be able to distinguish the truth, how we do those things, what are the acts that bring us to those things, you're welcome to call 888-318-7884. I have to take a quick break, and then already the lines are beginning to fill up, so go ahead and dial 888-318-7884. And if you're on the line, just hang on. We're going to get to you in 1 minute and let you talk with Father Robert McTeague, the author of Real Philosophy for Real People, Tools for for Truthful Living. It's the new book. And I know that I already know this because I've talked to people over there. They're very excited about this book over at Ignatius Press. Before I send you off to the break, I want you to know we've got a free ebook for you called Demons, Deliverance, and Discernment. You can same place we always have these free ebooks for you. Just go over to shop.catholic.com, look for the button, the free ebook button, click it, and you get the free ebook. That's not that hard to do. Shop.catholic.com, free ebook on demons, deliverance, and discernment right now at shop.catholic.com.
There's only one Catholic Answers Live.
Exorcisms on Monday and Rapture on Wednesday. That's the calendar this week on Catholic Answers Focus. The official exorcist of the Archdiocese of Indianapolis joins us on Monday to discuss the life of an exorcist, what training he gets, and then some stuff that's probably too scary to mention here. Then on Wednesday, we ask Carlo Broussard about the end times, particularly the rapture. Is there any chance that rapture might be real? Catholic Answers Focus is available on YouTube and wherever you get your podcasts. Get all the details and past shows at CatholicAnswersFocus.com.
The Aquinas Writing Advantage Program is part of Homeschool Connections' set of online courses for your Catholic homeschool. Homeschool Connections' website is homeschoolconnections.com.
There is tremendous power in prayer, because when we acknowledge that we don't have the power, but God does, things then begin to move for our good. Remember Matthew 19:26. But Jesus looked at them and said to them, "With men, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible." Now that's power.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I'm delighted to see the lines filling up with questions about philosophy because this is one of the great things about being Catholic, is the embrace of truth wherever it can be found. And that's why Catholics look all the way back to the time, all the way back to the time of St. Paul, certainly, but certainly figures like Justin Martyr in the Roman Empire. Taking philosophy seriously as a tool for investigating the world and as a tool for understanding revelation, where it's something I think we should be very, very proud of as Catholics, is the Catholic philosophical tradition. And Father Robert McTague, whose name I pronounced it right that time, Nick, right? Nick's going to keep score of how many times I pronounce it right. Father Robert McTague, a Jesuit priest and the author of the brand new book, Real Philosophy for Real People, Tools for Truthful Living, from Ignatius Press, here to take your calls. Father, shall we go to calls, or did you want to add any more before we let people start interrogating you?
No, let's do it. Let's take calls.
All right. Let's go to John in New Jersey, listening on Domestic Church Radio. John, thank you so much for your call. Your question for Father.
Hi, guys. Thanks for having me on. My question is, as Catholics, what's the right way to approach reading some of the pagan philosophers like Plato, Aristotle, or Cicero? Or maybe a better way to ask it is, what are some wrong ways to approach reading those texts?
Thank you, John.
Okay, that's a good question. We, ever since St. Paul, drove through Athens on his way to Rome, the Church has had a long-standing relationship with philosophy. And the way to read the pagans is the way that St. Thomas Aquinas read the pagans. Look for what's true and good and put the rest aside. And some of it can be improved upon. So many of the great doctors of the Church were formed and informed by pagans. Augustine and Plato, for example, certainly Aristotle and Aquinas. We don't have to be afraid of reading anyone. Now, in the Middle Ages, around the time of Aquinas, there were some people who said, hey, Aristotle seems to know everything about everything, so we're just going to trim Revelation to fit in with Aristotle. Not only did Christians do that, Muslims did it as well. And Aquinas said, no, don't do that. So he, it's an unfortunate metaphor, he kind of baptized Aristotle. So you could read anyone to see what's true. You can learn about, oh, there's another whole set of errors I didn't even know you could be wrong that way. duly noted. And every now and again, you'll find tools that you can use and build upon. I mean, my own great mentor in philosophy, to whom I dedicated this book, he wasn't Catholic, but he was fascinated with Catholic theology, and we developed a set of tools from philosophy that helped to illuminate theology. So I think it would be to our detriment to not read the pagans. We just have to read them as intelligent Catholics.
What do you think, John?
That sounds great. And I guess this is the second half of that are there any errors though to stay away from besides, I guess, having too close of a mind, it sounds like, might be one of the errors you suggest.
Right. Did Aristotle get some things wrong? Yeah, what he said about slavery, yeah, that's obviously wrong. Plato's relationship between soul and body was suggestive, but that's not quite right. As you read the pagans, keep, one eye on common sense and another eye on the truths that Christ entrusted to his church, and you'll be fine.
Thanks, John. Thanks very much. I wonder if the encouragement that Jesus gives to, for example, knock and it'll be open to you, seek and you'll find, mm-hmm. ask and it'll be answered, if this applies in any way to those philosophers, maybe like Siddhartha Gautama or like Confucius or like Socrates and Aristotle and Plato, the ones mm-hmm. you were just discussing, that in some ways they were seeking honestly and they did find many true things.
Right, they did find many true things. They did not find the personification, truth itself,
yeah.
who is a person, who is Christ our Lord. I mean, my mentor in philosophy, Paul Weiss, went to Harvard as an agnostic Jew and was making a career for himself in symbolic logic, studied under Alfred North Whitehead. And then at Harvard in the 1920s, inexplicably, there was the great French Catholic scholar Étienne Gilson. And Gilson said, they're teaching philosophy dishonestly at Harvard. In the beginning, there was Plato and Aristotle, and then nothing happened for 2,000 years. And then Rene Descartes just emerges out of nowhere.
Yes, just ignore Christendom, in other words.
Right. And so he read. So Weiss read the medievals under the tutelage of Étienne Gilson, and he said it was St. Bonaventure and his little work, The Itinerarium, Mind's Road to God, that convinced him of the reality of the transcendent. So here's this agnostic Jew in the Ivy League in the 1920s, gave up a very promising career in symbolic logic to study metaphysics.
Wow.
And so he befriended Gilson, he befriended Maritain. He was influential in my vocation. He was certainly influential in Father Spitzer. Little side note on Father Spitzer, why I asked him to write for the book. Father Spitzer and I were in doctoral studies together at Catholic University when I was a layman, and we were both writing under Dr. Paul Weiss, and Father Spitzer helped me to find my vocation.
I'm a Jesuit testimony.
Because of the influence. So all those years later, I called, hey, could you do that? So even though he didn't come to Christ directly, I think Dr. Weiss had an openness to the transcendent that only came from reading Catholics. And that desire to the truth prompted him to live a very disciplined life. I tell my students, if I believed it in reincarnation, which of course I don't, I would insist that Paul Weiss was the reincarnation of Socrates.
Really?
Yeah.
Father Robert McTague is our guest. The brand new book from Ignatius Press that they're very excited about over there at Ignatius Press is called Real Philosophy for Real People, Tools for Truthful Living. I am going to go back to the calls, but that call prompts me to want to ask this question, and I want to get this answer from you. There are philosophers, and I'm in my mind right now, I have the figure of Friedrich Nietzsche, that you might say it's like you can engage with Nietzsche and Nietzsche can teach you many important things, but is there ever a time where you say you're not ready for that to someone? Don't go into that, because that prepare yourself.
Yes.
Okay, fair enough, Father.
True story just from my own life. When I was a sophomore in college and had not yet read Nietzsche, a professor told me a story of she came home from class and found her high school-age daughter reading Nietzsche, and she yanked it out of his hands and said, you can't read Nietzsche till you read what he's reacting against first.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
So Nietzsche is the great contrarian What is he contradicting? You can't understand what the limits and merits of the modern mind until you get to the limits and merits of the classical mind.
Yes.
Okay. And that interplay of the classical and modern mind is an essential motif in Catholic intellectual life.
Right. And might you say that about some of the modern, many would even bristle at the name philosophy or philosopher for what they're doing, but the modern atheists, where there's nothing to fear, for example, I think in the writing of Christopher Hitchens or Richard Dawkins, but I wouldn't recommend everyone read it because you can be vulnerable to it.
Well, yes. Well, you know, again, going back to Father Spitzer, Father Spitzer said, if you're going to pick one century where science was most congenial to the faith, you'd definitely want to pick the 21st century. So we don't have to be shy in front of scientific atheism. I did an article in Alatea a few years ago called There Used to Be a Better Class of Atheists. And there was a picture of Bertrand Russell there. Again, Gilson said, most atheists aren't really atheists. They're just very bad theologians. And they're bad theologians because they haven't been raised up in a proper philosophical culture.
Yeah.
But as I said, you know, you don't punch above your weight class. Master the basics first. And my take on Nietzsche is this. Nietzsche is a genius and a madman. It's like talking with a brilliant man at a cocktail party after he's had too much to drink.
Yeah.
You know, on the one hand, you don't want to dismiss him because he's obviously brilliant. On the other hand, you don't want to give him the car keys because he's had too much to drink.
Right.
But there's a lot to learn from him. And in the book, I make clear in the chapter on worldviews, the only really honest options are Thomas Aquinas and Nietzsche, full-blown theism or full-blown nihilism, and everything else is just hand-waving and whistling past the cemetery.
Thank you, Father. Let's go to Michelle in Lincoln, Nebraska, listening on Spirit Catholic Radio. Michelle, your question for Father Robert McTagg. I know you're there, Michelle. Don't hide from us. All right. Okay. So somebody pushed the wrong button. You're there now, Michelle, right?
Yeah. Can you hear me?
We can. Yes. Now. Go ahead with your question for Father.
Great. I apologize ahead of time for kind of fumbling with this question. But what I want to know is how do we address or answer, you know, people who question anything as truth? Like when, you know, we look at grass and we say the grass is green, they're like, well, that's maybe not green, maybe it's red, but we just say it's green. And to extend that further into, you know, the very heavy topic right now of gender identity, even becoming taboo to say, you know, you're genetically male or genetically female. So how do we respond to something like that when they're always like, well, it's just human constructed truth, there is no truth?
All right, Michelle, thank you.
What you go up and whisper in his ear, dude, your fly's open. If he looks, he's a fraud.
Okay. Now, I get that, Father, but you're going to have to explain that.
Okay, look, the idea of, oh my gosh, we can't really know anything, we're really skeptical, et cetera, et cetera. You know, he knows that if he steps on a rusty nail, he's going to ask for a tetanus shot and not motor oil. Why is that? Why is it, you know, look, every semester I'd have some 18-year-old drawing upon all of his life experience to say, well, you know, like, Father, like you have, like, your own reality, like, and, like, I have my own reality. And I said, well, why is it in your reality and my reality we both fall out the window the same rate of speed? And why did you pick a reality where drinking too much beer makes you stupid and the cutoff for an A in this class is a 95? It's poor planning on your part. No one can really live that way. Yeah, you know, take his wallet and say, I'm calling it mine. How shall we resolve this? No, it breaks down. That kind of universal skepticism breaks down on a practical level very easily.
But so a person like Michelle, however, because you will have people really be mean to you. Like, you can't say that about gender. That makes you a gender phobe or what? I don't know whatever the latest terminology is, but some horrible name that they've come up with.
Right.
And so even though she's right, what do you have to do? Just stick to your guns and take the abuse?
Well, you know, as Catholics, we want to win souls more than we want to win arguments. And, you know, I taught rhetoric. Aristotle's view of rhetoric was the art of persuasion. You know, we have to avoid the rationalist fallacy, which states, if only I explain myself clearly enough, people will understand and agree. That's a trail of tears, as you know. People are more likely to hear what you have to say if they know that you really are a decent human being. And, you know, and sometimes, though, you've got to make an example of folks in public who are leading people astray. You know, sometimes you've got to humiliate the Pied Piper so he doesn't leave the kids off the cliff. So some famous musician starlet said that she was pansexual. And I wanted to ask her, well, when you have sex, do you worry about getting anybody pregnant?
No,
you don't. And why is it I was born that way is the absolute mic drop answer for sexual preference, but I was born that way is just a conversation starter for gender. Just point out the contradictions.
Michelle, thank you so much for the call. Our number is 888-318-7884. Father Robert McTague is our guest. We're trying to help the world think more clearly, and he's doing a great job with the book Real Philosophy for Real People, Tools for Truthful Living. More with Father McTague right after this.
Let us help you with your question today on Catholic Answers Live.
If you spend any time on Twitter, Facebook, or mainstream media, you're probably familiar with the litany of slogans that skeptics employ to rescue you from the foolish belief that God exists. The constant onslaught seems to leave people with the idea that they have no alternative but to embrace atheism. How can a Christian respond? In One Less God Than You, John DeRosa breaks down 20 of the most common atheist challenges and shows you how to craft effective answers. Atheism is more aggressive and widespread than ever. Read One Less God Than You and prepare yourself to respond with the joyful truth that God is real. To get your copy of One Less God Than You, visit shop.catholic.com today or ask for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Did you know you can access Catholic Answers Live right from your phone or other mobile device? Download the Catholic Answers Live app today. The Catholic Answers Live app, available now on iOS and Android.
To many people, even many Christians, purgatory is a fantasy, or worse, a wicked lie invented by the church to make salvation complicated and keep people in fear. But I'm here to tell you that purgatory is fact, not fiction. The Bible supports it, Christians have historically believed in it, and it makes theological sense. In my new book, Purgatory is for Real, I provide the evidence and reasoning to help you understand this controversial doctrine and demonstrate how it's actually a joyful, hopeful reality, not something shadowy and mysterious, but a sign of God's love and mercy. To get your copy of Purgatory is for Real, visit shop.catholic.com today or ask for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Fear can be a part of everyone's life.
Is there something you're fearful of and have a hard time letting it go?
That's what we'll talk about tomorrow on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie on most of these EWTN stations.
Now, back to Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Father Robert McTague is our guest. The book is Real Philosophy for Real People, Tools for Truthful Living from Ignatius Press. It's out now from Ignatius Press. If you'd like to have further exposure to Father McTague, he has a column and many past columns available for you to peruse as well over at Aletheia. .com, I think, is Aletheia.com.
.org.
Yeah. .org,
Aletheia.
Okay.
Aletheia.org.
Aletheia.org. You can also listen to his radio program over at the Station of the Cross. It's called The Catholic Current. Father McTague, thank you again for being with us. I am going to go back to the phone. So if you'd like to dial they just keep coming. 888-318-7884. We'll do our very best to get you on. I do want to confront you, however, Father, as a minister of the Christian faith, with the objection that, look, we have the Bible, we don't need all of this. If we would just follow the Bible, we don't need all this philosophy and whatnot. What how do you address that person?
Okay, that's a very old objection that goes back at least to the time of Tertullian in what, the 4th century. You know, what has Athens to do with Jerusalem? What does the academy to do with right. the church? Philosophy gives you an extra set of tools that you'd be foolish not to use. For example, philosophy can say, hey, you guys, you want to talk about the Trinity? I can't tell you whether or not the Trinity is true, but I can tell you the categories of nature and person is going to give you a lot of mileage. Hey, philosophy says to theology, to the church, you guys want to talk about the Eucharist? I can't tell you whether or not the Eucharist is real or not, but I can tell you the categories of substance and accident is going to help you think more clearly and express yourself better. Philosophy helps faith do its job better and also can give you protection, can give you intellectual Kevlar against the cheap shots that if you believe in God, it's no different from believing in, you know, Elvis fathered my love child.
Yeah, I hope somebody didn't just tune in on that last sentence, Greg. That's going to hurt your reputation, Father. But yeah, fair enough. Okay, thank you, Father. And we do use those terms. And really complex philosophical terms are right there in the creed. You know, when we say consubstantial, you got to know your philosophy to know what consubstantial means.
Yes, you do. And what I do in the book is, this is a book of philosophy. It certainly is. I borrow categories from theology because theology can help philosophy to do its work. When I talk about what is a human person, I talk about sign, symbol, and sacrament. And I draw upon Catholic vocabulary and imagination to talk about the body as the sacramental vessel of the person. You don't need to be baptized to understand the concepts. So philosophy and theology, faith and reason, interacting, both help each other to do their jobs better.
Is it kind of fun to have it like it's almost like a little bit of a superpower having of being well versed in philosophy? It makes you a better conversationalist. You can solve problems that other people find.
There's so much more that you can do with your life. You're not fooled as often. You don't get your intellectual pocket picked as often. You're immune to the nonsense floating in the air that other people fall prey to. It's a lot of work. And, you know, and sometimes you also see the gloom and the depth of things more readily and more profoundly than other people do. It's a two-edged sword, but I won't leave home without it.
Let's go to Heather in Colorado, listening on 1060 AM. Heather, you are on next with our guest, Father Robert McTague. Your question, please.
Yes. Hello, Father. Thank you for this. This is a great topic.
Thank you.
So I have a 10-year-old who is very curious, and she's asking some really great questions surrounding your faith. And I am looking for resources for her to kind of get her started thinking about, you know, the philosophy of things. Because I think a better understanding of the reasoning around God will help her with some of her questions.
I'm
learning a lot myself, but I didn't know if there are resources for younger people who are expressing some interest in their
Wonderful.
Well,
Thank you.
Aristotle would say start with logic. Your 10-year-old doesn't have a lot of life experience. You're not going to give her profound moral questions. But if you can teach her the basics of how to think through a problem, solve puzzles together. Instill that kind of curiosity, let her read mystery stories, you know, go through where the detective found the clues, etc. Get yourself a book called The 1 Minute Aquinas. That can be helpful. And some of the earlier books of Peter Kreeft, you know, Socrates meets this person, or Socrates talks about abortion in a very lighthearted way, Dr. Kreeft can give a person, even as young as 10, a sense of how to ask questions and how to pursue the truth relentlessly. This book is probably inaccessible to your 10-year-old, but I bet you if you read it and talk with her, I think that would be the way to go. Also, unfortunately, they took his videos off of YouTube, but if you go to bitchute.com, Stefan Molyneux has a series of conversations with his 11-year-old daughter where they talk about Karl Marx and they talk about utilitarianism. So you can do it. You have to be prepared. But for now, have your child solve logic puzzles for sure.
Okay, Heather?
Great. Oh, thank you very much. That was very helpful. We actually have had discussions about marks lately. So
you got
oh, good.
It.
Okay.
You know, Heather, I have to just say I'm very, very happy that you called, because I have, in my experience over the last decade or so talking with parents, parent after parent says they are shocked to wake up and find their 10 or 11 or 12-year-old is an atheist because they saw some stuff on YouTube, or they heard mm-hmm. the conversations at school, and they just think, I can't believe in God. And it's a crisis. I mean, an absolute crisis for that 10 or 11-year-old or 12-year-old, in some cases a 13-year-old. But the parent is shocked to find that this is the case. And so I'm very glad that you called. And I hope that parents of 7, 8, 9-year-olds are listening, because sometimes the battle is over by the time they're 10, or at least it's over for a long time.
One more resource. Father Spitzer has something called the Magis Institute.
Yeah.
M-A-G-I-S. And there's all sorts of links there about faith and evolution and faith and science, because your kid might come home from school and some teacher says, well, you know, only dumb people are religious because science. And this is just a treasure trove of material there.
MagisCenter.com is the place to go. MagisCenter.com.
Look, Catholics don't have to be afraid of anybody. We don't. And this book it can give you that set of tools where you can prove it. That we don't have to be afraid of anyone.
Thanks, Heather.
Thank you very much.
We're going now to Daniel in Deming, New Mexico, listening on the Catholic Answers Live app. Daniel, thank you very much for downloading the app onto your phone. Your question for Father Robert McTague.
Yes, it's really two questions. The basic question I want to ask is, could you briefly tell us the difference between philosophy and metaphysics? And then the other thing that I wanted to talk, and I'm amazed that two people have addressed that to quite a degree with you, and that is teaching children. I'm going to be teaching confirmation level one for about 12-year-olds. And I'm convinced that one of the basic reasons children don't understand some things is because of the use of $80 words. So,
The words are more expensive there in New Mexico. And here in California, we call them $10 words. But in New Mexico, they're going for 80 bucks. Father, this seems to be something people really want to know. How are we going to address children with this? And do address that $80 word question, because that you tackle that in the book, too.
Right. Okay. Well, first of all, to make a distinction between philosophy and metaphysics, philosophy is an ordered pursuit of the truth. It is a love of wisdom. Metaphysics is a branch of philosophy that attends to questions about the real. It's an attempt at offering a systematic account of the real. What is really real? Is there something that's real that's not physical? What is our relationship to time? So metaphysics is the foundational discipline of philosophy, and then others build on that. But again, you know, we've got to prepare our kids, because they're being exposed to stuff that I wasn't exposed to when I was 10 or 12 years old. I didn't have, you know, there wasn't an internet for me to be exposed to. And we didn't have the sickness of postmodernism afflicting our schools either. You've got to appeal to their moral imagination. You've got to get them to fall in love with the idea of discovering truths by means of story. Get a copy of John Senior's book called The Death of Christian Culture. There's in the back of that is a list of 1,000 books, mostly fiction, that you should be reading with your kid between the age of 5 and 18. Cultivate their moral imagination and then teach them how to reflect on those stories. Now, regarding the $80 word question, you know, I mean, if Dr. Peter Kraft and I were here and we were going to do all sorts of inside baseball, I could throw the buzzwords around, and that's fine. It's inaccessible to everybody else. You know, I don't accuse a doctor of showing off when he gives the proper name to my elbow when I call it my funny bone. And sometimes you need tools with that degree of precision tools that you ordinarily don't need at home. What you want to be aware of is not sophisticated vocabulary. You want to be aware of jargon. You want to be aware of people using words in such a way that they don't have to make a commitment for what they're saying or not saying, for what they're asserting or denying. That's what you want to be on guard against.
Okay, Daniel?
Okay.
You said
yes,
that,
and then well, the other thing I'd like to wait if I may.
I apologize, Daniel. Go ahead.
I'd like to talk with my grandchildren and my children about all sorts of things. About I'm really very basically I have a level of knowledge of philosophy, but I learned so much from my grandparents. They would teach things using ordinary life. And that way I would understand more about truth and whatnot. Yeah.
Right.
Thank you, Daniel.
Thank you. You're doing good work. God bless you.
Yes, God bless you. And Marie, Daniel goes on the He Can Call Every Day list with the woman from Kentucky, the people with the really cool accents that we want to hear every day. He's one of them, so he can call every day. We'll take a quick break, be right back with more with Father Robert McTague on his new book, Real Philosophy for Real People, Tools for Truthful Living. It's brand new from Ignatius Press.
Bringing you the truth. Catholic Answers Live.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects homebuyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
St. Paul's street evangelization isn't like other evangelism you might have seen on the streets. We don't yell, and we don't force anyone to pay attention to us. Instead, St. Paul's Street Evangelization is committed to presenting a positive, passionately Catholic presence to a world hungry for truth. For more information, or to start a chapter of your own, go to www.streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com. It's time to do our part.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
You know, I have never seen women who want to be equal absolutely degrading themselves. And yet the media degrades your nature, your beauty as a woman, your goodness. Let us pray at some point our dear Lord touches their hearts.
For more information on Mother Angelica, visit Religious Catalog at EWTNRC.com.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. We're talking philosophy, and I'd love to recommend this book to you, and will and gladly do recommend this book to you if you have a teenager. You know, we always get the call from the person, especially when we ask, well, what can we pray for you for? The most common thing, it's not cancer, it's not heart disease, it's not War and Peace, it's my children have left the church, will you pray for my children? By far, the most common thing people, and we have to defend them before they head off to college. And we live in a world now where so many do go to college, you know, it's not just 2% or something, but so many go to college. And they are abused there. They're intellectually abused there. And this gives them the defense. It's a key. So the book is called Real Philosophy for Real People, Tools for Truthful Living. Father Robert McTague, will you agree with my characterization that what's happening at universities and colleges is intellectual abuse in many cases?
Oh, yes. Yes. And this book is meant to boost your mental and moral immune system. This is your portable BS detector. This is the Geiger counter for nonsense. Right? And it also gives you a set of tools that can become mental habits so that you can learn. I mean, you can even learn from a fool if you know what to look for. But in terms of the mental and moral abuse, very often you've got professors who are bullies, or professors who are ideologues, or who give a very truncated, distorted view of history and of truth, and they're trying to sell you a bill of goods rather than trying to liberate you. You know, when I was teaching medical ethics, and I would say, hey, we're going to talk about real medical ethics, and latex doesn't work like magic. It's not a talisman. And the pill is more consequential than taking Tic Tac. And they said, oh, Father, we're tired of hearing this stuff. We want to hear the other side. And I said, this is the other side. Uh-huh. You're surrounded by the side all the time.
Right.
You tell me you haven't heard enough voices urging you to promiscuity? Really? That's your argument?
Yeah.
So, So you really have to go in with your guard up.
I feel, Father, sometimes like these universities could get away with it by saying, well, that's religion and abusing people of religion. But now they've gone to the point where they're abusing science, where they're saying, well, science is racist, or somehow it's bad science. If you say that we're a sexually dimorphic species, then that's bad science. And I feel like,
or if 2 + 2 = 4 means you're a hater.
Right. And I maybe there's a little resentment in me as a religious person that, oh, you had to wait until these people started attacking science before you'd take it seriously. But by God, by you know, in the name of the Lord, take it seriously for whatever reason.
I tell a story of a Midwestern state college that was having a museum and honoring modern art, you know, and postmodern art. And postmodern is supposed to be ironic and whimsical, and there are doors that open into brick walls and staircases that don't go anywhere, et cetera, et cetera. But they couldn't go in the building and occupy it until they got a certificate of safe occupancy from the engineer.
Yeah.
This is an example of letting theories get in the way of what they and everyone else know. The person who thinks that 2 + 2 = 4 means you're a hater, you don't want your pharmacist to believe that as he's dosing out your meds, right?
No, especially if I told you the meds that I'm on, Father, you do not want to mess those up.
to quote a famous person, who am I to judge? So,
888-318-7884, the number. Anonymous caller in Seattle, Washington. I apologize, Anonymous. I feel like we've made you wait. But you're welcome here, and your question for Father.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Good afternoon, Father. I have awesome respect for Dr. Peter Kraft. I've written him hard copies a number of times, and the man is taking the grace to answer back. Here's the shocker. 53 years ago, right after my father died suddenly around Christmas time, I picked up A.K. Homo, Zuspel Zarathustra, Will to Power, Hammer of the Gods, Beyond Good and Evil, and Human All Too Human.
But not the Antichrist.
Ate it up like popcorn.
Okay.
Right,
now,
right.
I'm in my mid-60s now. And Nietzsche, yes, he was a genius, and yet he died a screaming mad lunatic in Weimar in 1900.
Yeah.
Right.
His stuff is starting to make sense to me again, and here's why. When Nietzsche said, Zarathustra, shout, do they not know that God is dead? He was basically saying, by the way I understand it, and you can refute me if you have to, that God is not reliable, dependable, or trustworthy, so we've got to do it ourselves. Now, I regard Hitchens and Dawkins and Harris as rubbish, and I'm being polite, but this is a family Christian show.
Okay, I appreciate that.
I have to say, Anonymous, it's fascinating because we rarely get a caller calling to come to the defense of Nietzsche. And you're actually not alone in that. There are many Christian scholars who take Nietzsche quite seriously and profit from it greatly. But that doesn't mean we don't have a problem with Nietzsche. Father, go ahead.
Let me offer my take on it. Here's where Nietzsche, I think, was right. Not in refuting God, not in refuting the Christ, but in refuting the caricature of the church. One columnist was talking what he called the business of churchianity, what a former student of mine referred to as the status quo ordo. The idea that everything is fine, just make sure that you put your envelope in the basket, you know, and if you've warmed the pew for 45 minutes every Sunday, then the master of the universe owes you. If that's what theism and Christianity is, then Nietzsche is right to mock it, just like Kierkegaard is right to mock it. Kierkegaard said theology paints its face and tarts itself up and sits by the window and hoping that philosophy will come notice. You know, people who should know better in positions of responsibility in the church realize that their brand of the business of churchianity is dying demographically and financially. The season of COVID tide accelerated that process. Now they're clutching at straws of relevance, trying to show what different ways that they're woke, and then they're astounded when their statues get pulled down and their churches get vandalized. So to the degree that we're dealing with a facade of the Christ, then Nietzsche is rightly a bomb thrower. Right. But Nietzsche's arms are too short to box with God, to mix metaphors just a little bit.
Anonymous, I'm so grateful for your call, because it's wonderful to have someone who takes philosophy seriously call and speak with a philosopher. Our guest is Father Robert McTeague, and his new book is called Real Philosophy for Real People. Did you want to follow up with your defense of the madman, so to speak?
It's not so much... Well, my faith is crumbling.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
I moved to Seattle 7 years ago to work in the aviation business, and that's all in ashes. And every time I'm looking back at my life, a lot of things I've tried to do to improve my life relationally, emotionally, et cetera, professionally, have all met with disaster. So I'm starting to think, was Nietzsche right? Throw God out because you can't depend on him. You can't rely on him.
Oh.
He's not going to be there for you. He'll be there for somebody else, but he won't be there for me. So figured, all right, enough's enough. He says, you're on your own. All right, I'm just going to make the best of it what I can and hope and pray for his mercy on my last days.
That's I'm sorry for your struggle and your pain. Since you're a fan of Dr. Peter Kraft, he's written about Job, the book of Job, and he's written about suffering and evil. Speaking as someone who witnessed the violent death of his best friend 2 weeks before undergraduate graduation, I myself have had my nose rubbed in the problem of evil and suffering. And here's the nexus point. Here's the absolute litmus test. Either everything the church proclaims about Christ crucified and risen is absolutely true, or life is probably a bad joke that shouldn't have happened. Those are the two only honest options. So I ask you to go back to your sources, go back to those times when you did discover, where you did find God to be faithful, and spend some time reading people who suffered as you have and came out the other side. And I will keep you in prayer. I'm glad you called.
And thank you so much for the call. I hope that you'll continue to call again. I have very limited things that I can send you, but because you're experiencing this crisis of faith and you know that it's a crisis of faith, I would like to send you a book of reflections on the words of Jesus, because there's nothing in the world that can comfort and help us like the words of Jesus properly understood. So if you'd like to stay on the line and give us your address, I'd like to send you a book from Father Sebastian Walsh called Secrets from Heaven, Hidden Treasures of Faith in the Parables of Conversations of Jesus. They really are treasures, and perhaps they'll bring you some comfort and some reinvigoration of your faith, because it's quite serious to face a crisis of faith, and we take it seriously, and we don't want to be in any way dismissive. And as you said, Father, Nietzsche is so powerful as a critic of the falsities about God and about phoniness about God, but that doesn't mean that the truth about God is wrong or that God himself is a phony.
Right. And, you know, in raising the problem of evil, you're already pointing towards its solution. If evil is really evil, it has to fall short of a standard of absolute goodness. And if evil overwhelms the good, then good wasn't very good, in which case we don't have the problem of evil anymore. We only have the fact of pain and no reason to complain. So in raising the problem of evil, you're already pointing toward its solution. But it sounds like he doesn't need so much philosophy right now as grace and a kind listening friend.
Yeah, and Anonymous, please, I hope you will call again. Father Robert McTeague is our guest. You can hear him on the radio over at the Station of the Cross, of which we are big fans here. They do great work at the Station of the Cross, and the radio program is called The Catholic Current. And you can also read his material at aletheia.org. I messed that up before, aletheia.org. And I do want to recommend again, Real Philosophy for Real People, Tools for Truthful Living. If there's a problem of our times, it seems to be a rebellion against reality, and this is a way to work your way. Is that fair enough to say, Father? And this is a way to help you pass that?
Right, yes. We are in an atmosphere of anti-reality. The climate change we're suffering isn't, is it getting warmer or colder, but we've given up on truth and we got to push back on that.
And especially for that young person in your life, the teenager, this book, they can read it, they can process it. Maybe you can read it with them and send them off with some protection as they go out to face the attacks of the world. Father, I would love it if you would give us your blessing before we go. May we have your blessing?
Sure. Through the intercession of St. Ignatius Loyola, may God's peace reign in your heart. May Almighty God bless you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Go in peace and please pray for me.
Amen. Thank you so much, Father. We will, and we appreciate the time with you. Thanks for the opportunity.
Very good.
Tomorrow, we're going to come back here and do this again, God willing, and we're going to. It's open forum. You can ask anything you want. Anonymous, you can call back. If you're on the People with Great Accents list, you can call every day, so you can call again. And if you have any question about the Catholic faith, we'd love to hear from you then when we do this again on Catholic Answers Live.